Let's look to the Lord in prayer once again, shall we? Father, we do need you. And there is not an hour of any day that we do not need you. You give us life. All that we have has come from you. You sustain us. You bless us. You protect us. You keep us safe. We thank you for this service tonight and the blessings of it so far. And now I pray as we settle down and open our Bibles and consider some truth from it. Lord, you know my heart's desire is that you would be glorified in what's said and done. Keep me from saying what is not pleasing to you. Bring to my attention perhaps even something I had not thought of, but would be applicable to this message as we look into your word. We ask you this in faith in your name. Amen. Well, Andrew, here you go. You got your pencil in hand there to write this down or whatever you do. Type it in your computer. Let's call this one to be a friend of God. To be a friend of God. I mentioned that this morning. Wouldn't it be something to be God's friend? What's it take to be God's friend? Is it possible for one to be a friend of God? I mean, we know how important friendship is, don't we? How much we appreciate good friends, loyal friends, long-time friends. But God, having friends, kind of an interesting thought. We've got some examples that we want to look at this evening. And I trust it will be a blessing as we turn to his word. Has anyone ever had the designation of being a friend of God? No. Pardon? Moses. Correct? Can you think of any others? Pardon?
Jesus' disciples.
Correct? Can you think of any other? This one should not surprise you. Pardon? Enoch? No, he walked with God. It does not use the words. They were friends. It just says he walked with God and was not because God took him. Who have we been studying in Sunday school? Abraham. The one that God said, I will make a great nation of you. Well, let's look at some of these references and see what we can gain from them. And we will look at each of the three correct ones that we've seen this evening. The first reference, we would invite you to turn to Exodus. Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. And we'll pick up at verse 5 with Moses. For the Lord said unto Moses, say unto the children of Israel, you are a stiff-necked people. I will come up into the midst of thee in a moment and consume you. Therefore now put off thy ornaments or your jewelry from thee, that I may know what to do unto thee. And as I was preparing for this evening, I thought, that is an interesting statement here, quoting the Lord. Take your jewelry off so that I may know what to do with you. Or do unto you. You think about, that's something I can hear me saying, you know, give me some time. I have to do what? I have to think about this a little bit. But God, but still, take your ornaments from you that I may know what to do unto thee. Verse 6, the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by the Mount Horeb. And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it outside, that's what without, outside the camp, afar off from the camp. And he called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was outside the limits of where the campground was. And it came to pass when Moses went out unto the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshiped every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh with whom? Unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, he just stayed right there in the tabernacle. He didn't go out. So we see this relationship that Moses had with the Lord, and the thing that we discover here is there was something special about this relationship between God and Moses, and that is, it tells us here that because they were friends, God spoke to Moses as one would speak to a friend. In other words, God was speaking to Joseph or to Moses, what, just in his face, in his hearing, wouldn't that have been something? To hear the voice of the Lord and the words being spoken by the Lord. You say, well, everybody in the Old Testament, anytime it says that, you know, the Lord was communicating with them or whatever, they were hearing him speak with an audible voice, just like if you were talking to a friend. Oh? I'm not so sure I agree with that. Turn with me, if you would, to Numbers chapter 12, and we see some interesting things which show us that this relationship that Moses had with the Lord was different from others. Numbers chapter 12. And we pick up at verse 2. Verse 1 tells us there was a family issue. Miriam and Aaron were grumbling against Moses because he had married an Ethiopian woman. And in verse 2, it starts out by saying, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Now, who are Miriam and Aaron? His brother and sister. And they're mumbling and grumbling, saying, Moses, do you think you're the only one that God speaks to or through? Hath he not spoken also by us? Aaron and Miriam were saying. You know, you think you're special. You think you're the only one that can give us the word of the Lord. Well, God's spoken to us as well. And what's it say at the end of verse 2? The Lord, what? Heard it. And the Lord, now, the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, the two brothers and the sister. And suddenly after that complaining, the Lord began speaking. And the Lord said, come out the three of you unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle. Now that's exactly what we saw was taking place in Exodus 33, wasn't it? Moses would go out there, the pillar of the fire would come down and be right there at the doorway of the tabernacle. Now the three of them, the two brothers and the sister, they're in the tabernacle, and the Lord came, and there he stands, if we could use that, in the cloud. And he called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came out. Be a little anxious, wouldn't it? Be just a little bit anxious, I would think, to have God suddenly speak, come out here. And he, God, said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and I will speak unto him in a what? In a dream. my servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently or plainly, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord, what else? Not only will Moses hear me, but he will what? He will see what I reveal of myself to him. He will see the similitude of me. He will know that he's talking to me, his God. Wherefore then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? So as we think about this relationship that Moses had with the Lord, there was something special about it, wasn't there? Yeah, there were prophets, there were people who would come with the word of the Lord down through the ages, but the Lord says, here's how I communicate with them. I'll communicate with them. I'll give them a vision. I'll speak to them in a dream, but not my servant Moses. He's different. I'll speak to him face to face, and he'll hear me, and he will see me. And as we saw in Exodus chapter 33, I revealed myself to him as one what? Speaks to his friend. Moses, a friend of God. Let's look at Abraham. And for that, we turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And we start at verse 5. Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, what? Your friend forever. King Jehoshaphat here, in a prayer, we find him making reference to God's promises to Abraham and reminding the people that the Lord had given all of these promises to Abraham, your friend, Lord. And as we've been looking in Sunday school, as John is taking us through the book of Genesis, there have been all kinds of promises that God has made to Abraham's descendants, and they have not yet been fulfilled, have they? But as we have been reminding ourselves, that does not mean that God is not able or that God does not intend to fulfill those promises. Abraham received many and great promises. and Abraham here is referred to, it's interesting that others knew that Abraham was God's friend. Here's this king, Jehoshaphat. Several kings down the line from the first king, Saul, and then David the second. And yet still, this one knew that Abraham was God's friend. Look in Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41, and we see verses 1 through 7, and we see how God deals with those who are not looking unto Him, walking in His ways, wanting to please Him. Keep silence before me, O islands, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near, let them speak. Let us come near together in judgment. Who raised up the righteous man from the east, called him to his foot, gave the nations before him, made him rule over kings. He gave them as the dust to his sword, as driven stubble to his bow. He pursued them and passed safely, even by the way that he had not gone with his feet. Who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, the first, and with the last I am he. The isles saw it and feared. The ends of the earth were afraid, drew near. They helped everyone his neighbor, and everyone said to his brother, be of good courage. Now, we've been describing here in this verse, these first few verses, God is reminding the people of his greatness, his might. We find here that God has raised, verse 2, raised up righteous men from the east, made them rule over kings. He blessed them in various ways. And we find here, it tells us in verse 6, they helped everyone his neighbor. Everyone said to his brother, be of good courage. So how did they respond to the truth about God? So the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith, and he that smootheth with the hammer, him that smote the anvil, saying, it is ready for the soldering, and he fashioned it with nails that it should not be moved. How did these in verses 1 through 7 respond to God's goodness? Idolatry. And there was judgment upon them because of it. But notice in verses 8 through 10. But you, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. You, whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and I've called you from the chief, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto them, you are my servant. I have chosen you, and I have not cast you away. Fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. Yea, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. To those who were faithful to the Lord, God's blessing was upon them, the seed of Abraham, his friend. So not only did, as we saw there in 2 Chronicles, Jehoshaphat the king know that Abraham was God's friend. Who's speaking here in Isaiah? This is God. This is God. And this isn't just man calling Abraham my friend, but God is saying, I am putting my blessings on the descendants, the heritage of Abraham, my friend. What a thought to be a friend of God. In James chapter 2 in the New Testament, we read these words in verse 23. It says, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called what? The friend of God. What was it in Abraham that constituted this relationship where God would call him his friend? Perhaps James has put his finger on it. Because Abraham believed me. Abraham believed me. Yes, Pastor, but John's been teaching us in the book of Genesis, Abraham struggled, you know, with believing God. How many of you never struggle with believing God? Could I see your hands? We know Abraham was not a perfect man. We know ideas came into his head that the Lord said, no, that's not what I'm talking about. We know he attempted through Sarah's suggestion to help God out, figuring out a way whereby he could actually father a child through whom all the promises would come. And 13 years later, as we learned this morning, God said, you're a wife. You don't have to call her contentious Sarai anymore. You can call her Sarah, the princess. She is going to have a son, and you're going to call his name Isaac. And it is through him I will make. You see, through it all, Abraham's faith wavered, but he believed God. He took God at his word. He wondered, he didn't know how it was going to work out, but he was called the friend of God. Can we ever be God's friends? If so, how? Someone mentioned the third example of friends, and to me that's the answer of how could we ever be God's friends. Turn with me to John chapter 15. That night Jesus was betrayed, and the Lord was teaching his disciples regarding his departure. He instituted the Lord's Supper, and a multitude of things transpired that evening in that upper room, according to John in chapters 13 through about 18. A lot took place. In that time, the Lord said, greater love, verse 13 of John 15, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Then he said, you're my friends if, what's the answer to that? If you do what I command you to do. You want to be my friend? You obey my word. You do what I command you. And that 15th verse, he said, henceforth, from this point on, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Because you are my friends, what is the Lord saying? I have revealed to you the special truths. I have taken you in my confidence. I'm not referring to you as servants. A servant doesn't know what his Lord is doing. A servant just, the master says, go here, go there, and the servant does it. But the Lord says, I've called you friends, and I have told you, I have taught you, I have shared all kinds of truth with you. Why? Because you are my what? You're my friends. By our obedience to the Lord's word, we can be God's friend. I want to close with a thought as we think of this matter of friendship. And the fourth thing that I want us to see is in James chapter 4, verse 4. Yeah, we were just there a few moments ago, yeah, where we learned that Abraham believed God and he was the friend of God. But notice, if we look at James 4:4, something in contrast. You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not, don't you know, that the friendship of the world is enmity with or against God? If you are a friend of the world, read between the lines, the rest of the equation is what? If you're going to be the world's friend, you can't be my friend. You can't be both. Because it says, whosoever, therefore, will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. As we saw in 1 John chapter 2, what's wrong with the things of the world? We find here, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is where? Not in him. All that's in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, that's not of my Father. You want to be God's friend? The book of John chapter 15, the Lord said, I call you my friends if you do what I command you. But you kind of like hanging on to the things of the world. Forget about being God's friend. You and I must choose one or the other. Who are we going to give our allegiance to? Because as we see here in James, friendship of the world or with the world is enmity. It is war against God. And whoever has made that choice and they're saying, I love the world. I love what the world has to offer. Don't talk to me about Jesus. I'm going to get what I can get out of this world. I'm going to make it on my own. is what? The enemy of God. Well, to be a friend of God, Moses was, Abraham was, the Lord's disciples were. What about you? Are you his friend? Not because of anything special about you, but because his commandments mean so much to you. You live and breathe and you're concerned about being obedient to what he says. I want to be his friend. I don't want to be at war or at enmity with him. The choice is yours and mine. Let's stand and we'll be dismissed. Father, take these words. I trust you were glorified with what was spoken. Speak to each of us in our own hearts as we search our own hearts. Who really are we friends with? Are we friends with you because we love your word? We love your will, we love your ways, or is the world the thing that we find ourselves catering to, interested in? Who takes most of our time? The things of you or the things of the world? Help us to take these truths to heart. In your name we pray. Amen.